Joshua Lyon is here to talk about A Wild and Precious Life, the new Edie Windsor memoir he co-wrote, and give us his spin on our LGBTQ issues. Hi, Joshua.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Tell us about the new Edie Windsor memoir you co-wrote.
Sure. To give you a little background on Edie, I'm sure your listeners probably know, but just in case, Edie Windsor was the plaintiff in the 2013 landmark Supreme Court case, United States v. Windsor, that overturned Section 3 of the Defense of Marriage Act, which defines spouse as only applying to a man and a woman. The case came about because, despite being legally married in Canada to Thea Spire, her partner of over 40 years, Edie was required to pay an enormous tax bill after inheriting Thea's estate. She wouldn't have had to pay this tax had she been married to a man, and winning this case paved the way for marriage equality throughout America in 2015. All that being said, her court case has already been detailed in a book written by her lawyer, Robbie Kaplan. The goal with this book was to focus maybe a little less on the case itself and more about her life as a whole, which was fascinating in its own right.
How did you get involved?
I've been ghostwriting memoirs for over a decade now. I was one of many writers who applied for the job through my agent and was just lucky enough to be chosen by Edie. When I first interviewed with her, I honestly wasn't sure I had a solid shot. I knew I was up against a lot of competition and figured I was just lucky to be able to thank her for making my own marriage possible in person. But was lucky enough to get the job.
What was your inspiration for writing it?
So one of the first things that Edie said to me after I got hired was, I should have started this fucking thing years ago. She knew there was so much more to her life beyond the Supreme Court case, and that recording the history and progression of gay rights in America was extremely important. She was witness to so many huge cornerstones of history, from World War II to her pioneering days in early computer technology. And those experiences told side by side with her personal growth into an out lesbian showed an incredibly compelling portrait of American history. For me personally, that was much more exciting than getting into the nuts and bolts of the court case, which, as I mentioned before, is already excellently detailed in Robbie's book.
What do you hope to accomplish with this memoir?
We've only had marriage equality in America for 6 years. This is all recent history, and I think that's easy to forget. Edie and I had both also read a lot of personal narratives from gay male perspectives. And I really wanted to hear a female point of view of what it was like being closeted from the 1940s to the late 70s. And Edie very much wanted to share those experiences with the world. I think both because it makes for a compelling read, but also she's a historical figure, and she wanted to be the one to tell her story rather than have it be written after she passed away, which is why I feel so incredibly lucky that we were able to get as much of the book written together as we did before she passed away in 2017.
How do you see our LGBTQ community moving forward in this Trump administration, especially heading into the 2020 election?
Edie always thought that the different national LGBTQ organizations should all work together, communicate more, and share resources when possible. I think that's really important. It also saddens me, and I know that she felt the same way, that transphobia exists within certain parts of the gay community. We're all in this together, and we should be fighting together. I really loved also that whenever Edie was given an award and a chance to speak to a room at a podium, she gave actionable advice like, hey, everyone call this particular senator to advocate for this piece of legislation instead of just the standard thank you speech. I'd love to see more of that from people who are given a public platform.
With LGBTQ teens already 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers after facing bullying incidents, what advice would you have for these kids?
This is something that was incredibly important to Edie. She would definitely want them to use as many resources as possible that are available. These are things that she never had when she was young, whether it's a community center or online services if you live in a rural area. Particularly if a teen is experiencing any suicidal thoughts, I know she would urge anyone to call the suicide prevention hotline that the Trevor Project offers.
How can people get information about A Wild and Precious Life?
It's available wherever books are sold, in stores and online. I personally love when people support their local indie bookstores.
What other projects are you working on?
So Edie is a tough act to follow. I'm looking to move into fiction, particularly scary stuff. I'm a big fan of thrillers and horror. I think I was shy about admitting that to Edie, but then discovered that she was obsessed with The Walking Dead, which I found really funny. So I have a couple of projects in the works now that I'm very excited about, but also not allowed to talk about yet.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
One thing that I find really funny is that so many people who read the book say to me, I can't believe how much sex there was in it. And that I find both funny and surprising and kind of sad. It's almost like people expect that women don't have sex. It's just bizarre to me. But one question I wish more people would ask about is LGBTQ people who oppose the idea of marriage equality. There were and still are some queer people that reject what they see as a heteronormative institution. I find that kind of fascinating. Just because marriage equality exists now doesn't mean you have to get married. You know, the case was about ensuring equal rights for all, if you want that. There were relationships in the past in which long-term gay couples would end up adopting their partner in order to protect the legal rights of their relationship. If we'd had marriage equality during the AIDS epidemic, there would have been no legal standing to deny a partner's entry into hospital rooms to say goodbye. And also, every relationship is different. You can take advantage of these equal rights, but still define your personal relationship however you like.
Do you have a favorite quote, a mantra, to get you through difficult times?
Yeah, I'd say my mantra is examine your fears. I think it's an important catch-all phrase because fear can both protect you from harmful situations, but it can also help you grow if you're faced with something that challenges both your worldview and your own sense of self-worth. I think for me personally, if I find myself scared in a situation where it might be a job that I don't feel I'm quite qualified for, really face that fear head on. It'll just get me to a better place. Sometimes being scared can be a good thing.